So we are continuing our reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the activities of Sakshi Gopal, Madhyalila chapter 5. So now we'll continue with text 98 and then lead up to text 113, which is on the board. The Lord continued, do not try to see me by turning around. As soon as you see me, I shall remain stationary in that very place. You will know that I am walking behind you by the sound of my ankle bells. Cook 1 kilo of rice daily and offer it. I shall eat that rice and follow behind you. The next day, the Brahmana begged permission from Gopal and started for his country. Gopal followed him step by step. While Gopal followed the young Brahmana, the tinkling sound of his ankle bells could be heard. The Brahmana became very pleased, and he cooked a first-class rice for Gopal to eat. The young Brahmana walked and walked in this way until eventually arrived in his own country. When he neared his own village, he began to think as follows. I have now come to my village, and I shall go to my house and tell all the people that the witness has arrived. The Brahmana then began to think that if the people didn't directly see Gopal deity, they would not believe that he had arrived. But even if Gopal stayed here, he thought, there is still nothing to fear. Thinking this, the Brahmana turned to look back, and he saw that Gopal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was standing there smiling. The Lord told the Brahmana, now you can go home. I shall stay here and shall not leave. The young Brahmana then went to the town and informed all the people about Gopal's arrival. Hearing this, the people were struck with wonder. All the town's people went to see the witness Gopal, and when they saw the Lord actually standing there, they all offered their respectful obeisances. When the people arrived, they were very pleased to see the beauty of Gopal. And when they heard that he had actually walked there, they were all surprised. Then the elderly Brahman, being very pleased, came forward and immediately fell like a stick in front of Gopal. Thus, in the presence of all the town's people, Lord Gopal bore witness that the elderly Brahman had offered his daughter in charity to the young Brahmana. Text 13. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. After the marriage ceremony was performed, the Lord informed both Brahmanas, you two Brahmanas are my eternal servants, birth after birth. Purport. like these two Brahmanas of Vidyanagar, there are many devotees who are eternal servants of the Lord. They are specifically known as Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect. Although the Nitya Siddhas appear in the material world and seem to be common members of the world, they never forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any condition. This is the symptom of a Nitya Siddha. There are two kinds of living entities, Nitya Siddha and Nitya Bhada. Nitya Siddha never forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the Nitya Bhada is always conditioned even before the creation. He never forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here it is informed the two Brahmanas that are his servants, birth after birth. The phrase birth after birth refers to the material world, because in the spiritual world there is no birth, death, old age or disease. By the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Nitya Siddhas remains within this material world like an ordinary man, but the only business of the Nitya Siddha is to broadcast the glories of the Lord. The incident appears to be an ordinary story about a marriage transaction involving two ordinary servants. However, Krishna accepts the two Brahmanas as his eternal servants. Both Brahmanas took much trouble in these negotiations, just like mundane people. Yet they were acting as eternal servants of the Lord. All Nityasiddhas within this material world may appear to toil like ordinary men, but they never forget their position as servants of the Lord. Another point, the elderly Brahmana belonged to an aristocratic family and was learned and wealthy. The young Brahmana belonged to an ordinary family and was uneducated. But these mundane qualifications do not concern Nityasiddhas engaged in the service of the Lord. We have to accept the fact that the Nityasiddhas are completely distinct from the Nityabhadas, who are ordinary human beings. Srila Narottam Das Thakur confirms this statement. Gorangare sangigane Nityasiddha karimane se yaha vajendra suta basa Sri Gauda Mandala Bhumi Ye Java Chintamani Tarehe Vraja Bhume Vasa. One who accepts the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Nitya Siddha is certain to be elevated to the spiritual kingdom to become an associate of the Supreme Lord. One should also know that Gauda Mandala Bhumi, those places in Bengal where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed, are equal to Braj Bhumi or Vrindavan. There is no difference between the inhabitants of Vrindavan and those of Gauda Mandala Bhumi or Sridham Mayapur. Om Ajnana Trimandandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So continuing this story, as we discussed previously, that the young Brahmana was speaking to Gopal about him coming to the village of the older Brahmana to be a witness. And of course, Krishna is saying, how is it possible for me to come all that way? And the young Brahmana is saying, if you can speak to me in this beautiful form of yours as deity, then surely you can walk and come to the village. Of course, Krishna didn't have to walk. He could have just, by his mystic potency, he could have just appeared in the village. But Krishna wanted to make sure that those people who have no faith in the Supreme Lord's transcendental, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient nature, then Krishna personally walked. So of course, he, in the recitation of his story, Krishna is making a condition that I will walk behind you, but you don't turn back. Because as soon as you turn back, that means you have maybe doubt in your mind, in your heart, that is Krishna behind me or not? So of course Krishna said, the sign of me walking behind you is that you will hear the tinkle bells, sound of my ankle bells. So that was the one condition. And the second condition is that every day you offer me 1 kilo of rice. Now it's amazing. Krishna did not ask for chapatis. He asked for rice. So maybe Goloka is full of rice and not chapatis. So anyway, that was the condition place. And the young Brahmana with full faith, he walked. And every day he would prepare, as per the condition, 1 kilo of rice and would offer to Gopal. And Gopal would be satisfied, and then they would continue walking for some days. Because remember, this is in Vrindavan. Gopal is in Vrindavan. And the older Brahmana's place is somewhere in the district of Orissa, which presently, if we go today from Bhuvaneshwar to Jagannath Puri, there is a place, a village called Sakshi Gopal, where the deity of Sakshi Gopal is residing now since the day when he walked from Vrindavan to Vidyanagar, as it was called in those days. Then he became known as Sakshi Gopal because by the presence of Sakshi Gopal's presence there. And interestingly enough, is that this deity was self-manifesting deity. And this deity was worshipped by Krishna's grandson in Vrindavan. So can you imagine that this deity was in Vrindavan since almost like 5,000 years before. And Krishna's son, Aniruddha's, and Aniruddha's son is Vrajanabha. And he said he established 5 or 6 different deities in Vrindavan made of a particular black stone, which is difficult to find these days. Anyway, the point is that this deity was self-manifesting and it was worshipped by Krishna's grandson and successively by many, many brahmanas after that who continued worshipping him until the point came where Gopal had to become a witness of the conversation between the old brahmana and the young brahmana. And due to this lila of Krishna's transcendental pastimes with his devotees, he became a witness, and then later on, to fulfill that obligation as a witness, he arrived in Vidyanagar to fulfill that obligation, and then witnessed, he confirmed that yes, this older brahmana had promised his daughter in the hand of marriage to the young brahmana, and therefore, as we hear here, that after the marriage ceremony was performed, the Lord informed both the brahmanas that you are both my eternal servants. In the purport, Prabhupada is mentioning that in the spiritual world, there is no birth, death, old age, or disease. So how can you be an eternal servant birth after birth? So Prabhupada says that these great souls, they actually willingly stay in the material world for the pleasure of the Lord. The only difference between them and the conditioned soul, as Prabhupada says, are two classes of men, the Nitya Siddhas and Nitya Badas. So Nitya Siddhas never forget Krishna at any stage. Although, as Prabhupada says, they may be acting as ordinary people in ordinary circumstances, but their heart is fully absorbed in meditating on the Supreme Lord. They never forget Krishna. And as Prabhupada is saying here, that the business of those Nitya Siddhas who willingly stay in the material world for the pleasure of the Lord is to spread the glories of the Lord. So those are great preachers. They preach the glories of the Lord and free the living conditions, the Nitya Bharas, out of their misconceptions and entanglement of the material world, and enlighten them so that they become fully enlightened in the science of Krishna consciousness, or as Srila Prabhupada says, the science of self-realization. And then they begin their journey to come out of this material entanglement and make their way back to Godhead. So there are many, many conditioned souls of this nature who appear in this world simply for the pleasure of the Lord. Now, in one statement I was reading a couple of days ago in the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada says that the Nitya Siddhas, they are always equiposed, whether they are in the material world or the spiritual world. Although we know from the Bhagavad Gita that anybody who is in this material world will be surely affected by the three modes of material nature. This is the very nature of this world. As long as you're in this material world, then you'll be affected by the three modes of material nature without saying. It doesn't matter what level of spiritual development you are in. Even if you are Nitya Siddhas, you'll still be conditioned, or rather, not conditioned, but rather affected by the three modes of material nature. And what are the three modes of material nature's business? Is that we have a state of happiness, and then we have a state of sadness or suffering. This is the nature of this world. So similarly, as Prabhupada says, that the Nitya Siddhas, they would be in this material world for the pleasure of the Lord, but at the same time, they would be like an ordinary persons, and therefore they would act like ordinary persons, and they would also sometimes go through the miseries of this material world. But their miseries are not due to their complex karma. Most living entities who are Nitya Bharas, they are suffering due to their karma, whether past lives or present life. Whatever karmas we have performed, good or bad, the reactions will be taking place, whether it's good reactions or bad reactions. As Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna, neither perform pious deeds or impious deeds. Simply perform bhakti or devotional service. So Krishna is advising Arjuna not to perform any deeds which will entangle him in the material world. And unfortunately, since we are entangled in this material world, by nature's force and by our own deep desire, we do perform some good activities due to some piety in the heart, and mostly we perform impious activities due to our greed. So either way, we become entangled. And these Nitya Siddhas, they come to free us from our suffering. So as Prabhupada says, that there are many, many, many devotees of this nature who come here to free us. So our good fortune is that we have got association within this institute of Srila Prabhupada's established ISKCON, where he is facilitating us to engage in devotional service. Although sometimes the activities we may perform seems very ordinary. For example, cleaning the temple room, cleaning the grounds, cooking. All these things seems very, very ordinary, because the very same activities are performed everywhere else. What is the difference is that when we are performing these activities which may seem ordinary, but because it is for the pleasure of the Lord, it is transcendental and it is devotional, and it is non-karmic. It doesn't give you any karmic reactions. So it's a beauty of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness to give facilitation to engage in devotional service. And every act we perform within the limits of this institute is constituted as devotional service or devotional offering. We may not understand that, but the result of being engaged in service for the pleasure of the Lord will constitute as devotional service, and therefore that devotional service will slowly and gradually free us from all our contaminations, all our misgivings, and gradually we will develop love for Krishna, and then we'll make attachment for Krishna, and then we'll develop that intense desire to be with Krishna. Prabhupada always says that if you are with Krishna, then you become completely in ecstasy and happiness, real ananda. If you are separated from Krishna, then of course you are at the mercy of the material energy, and you may then have some pleasure or some suffering. But when you are with Krishna, then of course there is no suffering. Now sometimes devotees say that we are here, we are with Krishna, why we are suffering? Sometimes we get sick, sometimes we get fevers, sometimes we get aches and pains of the body. Of course, sometimes these aches and pains on the body are not due to some disease condition, but it is the ultimate disease, which Prabhupada says, old age. So it does come as part and parcel of the package. But nonetheless, we would then think, if we are with Krishna, and if the statements of the Shastra and great Mahabhagavat say that if we are with Krishna, then there is no suffering, then why we are experiencing suffering? My take on that is that we may think we are very close to Krishna, but really we are not close to Krishna. There is a saying in English, so near and yet so far. So we are in a very close proximity of Radha Gokulananda, you know. But how close Radha Gokulananda is to us in the spiritual sense, that I will leave it to you as individuals to decide how close you are to Gokulananda. And if you are really close to Gokulananda, then surely you'll be free from all material suffering. And you'll be in a very transcendental ecstasy. And if you're not, then so near and yet so far. Not only that, that in our physical proximity, by the mercy of the Lord, he has manifested in his beautiful Gokulananda feature here, and he is giving us his audience every day. He's giving us opportunity to serve him. But on the other hand, the Supreme Lord is also in your heart, right next to you. But do we see him right next to us? Sometimes, maybe when you read some statements in the Bhagavatam or any of the other scriptures where it says the soul and the super soul are residing in the heart, then you may think for a moment, yes, the super soul is in my heart. But do we consciously think that the Lord is with me every moment? He is in my heart. He's right next to me. Can we feel his presence? Can we see him? Of course, when I say can you see him, not with these eyes, but the soul has got spiritual eyes. And because the spirit soul by nature is spiritual, therefore he is able to conceive and perceive the super soul because he is also spiritual. Spirit can conceive spirit. Our mundane eyes can see only that which is to the limitations of material manifestations of different energies of Krishna. Even then, I say at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five of us here have difficulties seeing without the aid of glasses. So even with nature's beautiful gift of eyes, we are struggling. Therefore, we need to put these on to see, okay, I can see it clear now. So what to speak of seeing Krishna? But at least the spirit soul, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, has that spiritual nature, and therefore he can perceive the presence of the super soul. But how many of us can actually perceive that super soul's presence in our heart? Most of the time we don't even perceive our own selves, never mind the super soul, because we are so much thinking, I am this body. And why I say that with confidence is that because most of the time when we are acting, we are acting on the principle of the body. I feel cold, I feel hot, I feel tired, I feel sleepy, I feel hungry. Now, according to the description of the soul in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the soul never feels cold or heat, doesn't feel hungry, doesn't feel sleepy. Who feels sleepy? It's us. Our mind makes us think, oh, I'm tired, I want to sleep. And therefore, even in the presence of the Gokulananda, we are going, and then, wake up, you know. Can you imagine? You know, see how much this effect of sleep is strong and infecting us. Is one of my disciples had put up a picture of her two little sons on Facebook, and they were sitting there with the food. I think it was kind of a difficult to describe what it is, but it's a Balinese kind of food stuff. The child was sitting there and going, And this is not bedtime. Remember, it is breakfast time. And the child is sitting there and is, and she made a little video of about 50 seconds or something. And there's two of her boys sitting there with each. And then he wakes up and starts munching. After munching, again. So even when the senses are enticed by some food stuff, still, the body of ignorance says, sleep. So we are all acting on a bodily platform. Now I'm not saying that those two little boys are completely on bodily platform. We are also on the same bodily platform. And why I say that? Because we act all the time for comforting the body, not the soul. The soul is what is the real person, is real you. And that real you should not be affected by these things if you are connected with Krishna. But if you're not connected with Krishna, then obviously the modes of material nature, as I said, will affect you. And the degree of the modes of material nature, whether it's ignorance, whether it's passion or goodness, will be according to how much you are in association with the material energy or how much you are in association with the spiritual energy, the Lord himself. So some of us, we are like, you know, few percentage with the Lord and maybe greater percentage with the material energy, and therefore we get affected by the modes of material nature, and then material energy is playing around with us and kind of making us think, yes, we are okay. But as Srila Prabhupada says, as we become more and more knowledged, and all the knowledge given by the revealed scriptures, we realize that we are not this body, we are spirit souls. And what is our business? Our business is to fully engage in the service of the Lord and be fixed in the service of the Lord. And we have determination, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. The more and more determination we have to serve Krishna, more and more determination we have to remember Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. It is possible, as we know from the story of Sakshi Gopal, that young Brahmana, from now and from this purport we understand, and also from this verse from Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, that Krishna, the deity Gopal, is declaring that the two Brahmanas are my eternal servants, birth after birth. So the young Brahmana was not an ordinary person. He was eternal servant of Krishna, and therefore he had full faith. And with full faith, he went to Gopal and said, Gopal, come, fulfill your obligation as a witness. So in this case, he had full faith in Krishna. And similarly, we also have to develop the full faith. And if we develop this full faith, then of course Krishna can do miraculously interact with us, and we can feel completely absorbed and feel the presence of Krishna every moment. Now in this regard, I will relate to another story, which is very, very nice story, which also happened not many thousands of years ago, but in the recent past. That there was one king, and he had his kingdom, and in his kingdom, he had one of his army generals. So they were obviously, in those days, different kings would have conflicts with the neighboring kingdom. They would have fights. And this general of the king was so sincerely serving the king that every time there was an attack on his kingdom, he would protect his kingdom with his army. And of course, they say, army may be very strong, but if you don't have a good leader, then the army is as weak as the leader. A strong leader, then army is as strong as the leader. So anyway, this general was very much protecting the kingdom of this king, and the king was very much happy. And because of his happiness towards this general, he offered him a village. That this is your village. Now, this is your kingdom. You become the king of your village. So of course, he became the king of his little village, and he had one little son, and he was training his son that now we have our kingdom. I want you to be trained so that when I die, I want you to take over my kingdom. But the boy is not interested in learning the principles of Kshatriya. He is always interested in hearing about Krishna, and he is always interested in playing the childhood pastimes of Krishna. So as the boy was growing older, at some stage the boy developed so much affection for Krishna that he had desire to go and see Krishna. So he asked his father, "My dear father, where can I see Krishna?" She said, "Oh, I have heard there's a kingdom of Dwarka where there is a beautiful ornate temple of Dwarkadish. He resides there." So the boy said, "I must go and see him." So the boy was so much interested in seeing Krishna, the lordship Dwarkadish. Now, of course, the village is not just down the road from Dwarka. It is something like 500-600 kilometers. So this boy, he was so much interested in hearing about Krishna that sometimes some saintly persons would come through the village and they would recite many wonderful pastimes of Krishna Katha. So this boy was very avidly hearing Krishna Katha. And one of the Krishna Kathas he heard from the saintly person was that the Supreme Lord is very, very pleased when you offer him tulsi. So from that childhood times when he's hearing the story that Krishna is pleased when you offer him tulsi. And this saintly person who gave the Krishna Katha said, if you offer Krishna the most precious diamond and a tulsi leaf, Krishna would reject the diamond and he would accept the tulsi leaf. That much how tulsi is dear to Krishna. So this boy, he decided that Krishna loves tulsi. And I want to go and see Krishna. And when I go and see Krishna, I want to give him tulsi. So of course, in his little mind he was thinking, if I pick up a tulsi leaf, and then I have to walk 400-500 kilometers. By the time I reach there, the tulsi leaf will be dried. And how can I offer a dried tulsi leaf to Krishna? So he decided that every full moon, he would take darshan of Krishna. So a few days before Purnima, he would take little dirt of soil from the ground and put tulsi seeds there. And then he would water it, and then a small tulsi plant would grow. And then he would take this plant, and he would walk 500 kilometers to Dwarka. And when he reaches Dwarka, he plans his trip in such a way that he reaches Dwarka Dham on the day of Purnima, the full moon, when Krishna is, again described that on full moon, Krishna is very gloriously enjoying his rasa dances. So he would offer that plant at the lotus feet of Dwarkadish. And he was so much, you know, overwhelmed by the beauty of Dwarkadish that he made a vow that every Purnima I will come here and offer you tulsi. And of course, he did that for many years, and he was growing up as a young man, and he continued with this every Purnima going to Dwarka. And his father is getting a little frustrated, saying, "Son, we have a kingdom here. I want you to learn how to, you know, the ropes of ruling this kingdom. And trained as a Kshatriya, you'll become the king here one day." And he said, "Father, I don't care. Because I am the servant of the Supreme King, Sri Dwarkadish. And that is all I want." So obviously, this continued, and of course his father passed away, and then he inherited the kingdom. But he gave his kingdom to these ministers to rule. And he was just doing his business of serving Krishna, remembering Krishna, hearing about Krishna. And as he's getting older, and he reaches Dwarka one time in his old age, and then he prays to Dwarkadish, and he started crying. And said, "My dear Lord Dwarkadish, this is the last time I will come to see you. because I'm getting very old. I cannot walk all this way. So you have to forgive me. But I will meditate surely on your form and offer you tulsi in my home place. Because I also have duty to take care of my little kingdom. And Dwarkadish, with a big smile, saying, my dear devotee, don't worry. I will come to your village. But unfortunately, all these pujaris and all the residents of Dwarka are so attached to me that if you take me with you, they will surely fight you and not allow me to come with you. So let us do a plan. At dead of night, at midnight when everybody is sleeping, you just come here. And this devotee, his name is Bodano. If you are familiar with the story of Sri Ranchorji in Dakor. Bodano. Anyway, so he was thinking, yes, Lord, you are such a big form. How I will lift you? I'm an old man. And I said, don't worry. You bring a bullock cart. And in that bullock cart, we will go to your village. So now Bodhana is thinking, where am I going to get a bullock cart? So in the city of Dwarka, he went to many different people saying, can you lend me a bullock cart for a few days? And nobody wanted to give him a bullock cart. So one farmer, he had an old broken bullock cart with squeaky tires and, you know. So he said, if you want this, you can take this because it's no use to me. He said, something is better than nothing. So now he has got a bullock cart. Then he asked the farmer, is it too much to ask if you can give me a couple of bulls to pull the bullock cart? So, of course, the farmer said, no problem. I have a couple of old bulls which are useless. They are just a burden to me now because I have to feed them, but they are not any use to me. Yes, you take the bulls. So again, Bodhana is thinking, something is better than nothing. So he took the old bulls and the broken bullock cart and he waited till the dead of night, at midnight. He went in front of the temple and the temple doors opened. And he went inside and said, dear Lord, I am sorry. I cannot bring a good bullock cart or good bulls. This is all I have. And Krishna says, why are you worried? I'm here. Let me take care of everything. So, of course, majestically, Krishna appeared in his beautiful form and he walked off the altar and went to the bullock cart. And with his flute, he touched the bullock cart. And the bullock cart became majestically ornamented bullock cart. And then he taped the two bulls with his flute. And these two bulls became youthful and, you know, and powerful bulls. And very majestically. And then Krishna says to Bodhana, you sleep in the back. I will ride the bullock cart. And then they rode the bullock cart. Krishna was riding the bullock cart. And Bodhana in his old days, taking a little nap in the back. Finally they reach his village. And then Krishna says, now I'm here. You don't have to worry about coming all the way to Dwarka. You can offer me all the tulsi you can here. Because in all these years when you're coming every Purnima, I have become a little spoiled. I look with great eagerness and await that Purnima. Although many devotees come to me and offer all kinds of offerings, but for you, I'm waiting with eagerness to get that tulsi from you. Because it's not that tulsi which is touching my heart, but it is that intense love you have for me and the trouble you take all this way to come here to please me. That is what has touched me. And I am so spoiled that I cannot live without that. So, of course, Krishna is there in his village and early morning, Mangalati time, the pujaris are already fired up and ring the bell and open the door. Or the altar and say, whoops, what happened here? There's no Krishna. Of course, the pujaris are completely shocked. And now the pujaris are thinking, what is my fate? I am the pujari. The temple is under my jurisdiction. And the king will kill me. So he's not thinking about Krishna. He's thinking about his own self. The king will kill me when he finds the deity has been stolen by someone. So he goes with humility, and then the king is very angry, and he says to his army, go and find out who has stolen this deity. Now, of course, the king is thinking the deity is a stone, statue. He's not thinking that this is Krishna. So who has stolen the deity? Can anyone steal Krishna? Of course, he can steal his heart. Like the gopis of Vrindavan, they have stolen Krishna's heart. But anyway, so the king sends his army, go and look for it. So the army is going here, there, and everywhere. Then they said, who can steal this? Because in the city of Dwarka, everybody is honest people. All of them like brahmanas and truthful people. So they said, yes, there was this one old man came here. Maybe he stole it. Because he was a stranger. So then the army said, figure out where he went. So they figured out through their sources that he had a bullock cart and bulls. They said, well, there was a broken bullock cart with old bulls. How far could he be gone? So let's trek and we'll find. So they went trekking. And they couldn't find the bullock cart. Until they came to the village of Borano. And there, word spread that the army is coming. And Borano is, of course, fearful, thinking, the army of King of Dwarka has come here, and surely they will punish me because I brought Dwarkadish with me here. But then he was thinking, I didn't steal him. He came on his own accord. So he goes to Dwarka and says, Dwarkadish, what should I do now? He says, don't worry. See that water well? Put me in there. And hide me. So he said, but you are so heavy. He said, do as I tell you. And sure enough, Borano, an old man, he picks the deity up, lifts him, and he puts him in the well. And he's also amazed. How Krishna is so heavy, and then he's so light. And of course, we all understand Krishna can be heavier than heaviest and lighter than lightest. Krishna is not conforming to the materialistic rules and regulations of physics. It's beyond material physics. Anyway, so he hid the deity in the well. And then the army people came and saying, who is this guy, Borano? I want to see him. So we're saying, because they're all fearful. So say, hey, it's him. So the army general went there and said to Borano, you have brought the deity of Dwarkadish here. Where is it? And he said, because Krishna told him, don't tell me, just hide me here. And he could not say anything. And before he could compose himself, the army general got so angry, he chopped his head off and killed him. And then, of course, Borano's wife, she was now completely fearful, saying, it's there, you know, because she thought, he's killed my husband. Surely he will kill me and the villagers if we don't tell where the deity is. So they saw the deity of Dwarkadish in the water well. He says, boys, pick him up. And they were trying to take the deity out of the water well. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all of them. Wake up, boy. And they tried to take the deity out. Nobody could lift him out. Now the general is thinking, we found the Lord's deity here. If I go back to my kingdom and tell my king that, yes, we found the deity, but he's so heavy we cannot bring him back, then I'll be in trouble. Because the king says, the old man, if he can lift the deity from the temple here and take him all the way back to his village, Why can't you bring him back? You are strong guys. But of course, Krishna is playing his lila now. He's heavier than the heaviest. So, Krishna doesn't want to go. Then the general is thinking, okay, my king is also a little greedy. I will tell the villagers here that you give me gold of the equal weight of the deity. And if I take all this gold, my king, who is greedy, he will be so much pleased with gold, then he will bring another deity and install there. So, we're just thinking, if so many people, 10, 20 people cannot lift him out of the well, how heavy Krishna will be. And we don't have gold of that nature. So they're all fearful. Then the wife of the Bodhano, she's lamenting the death, and she goes and says, Krishna, why are you bringing all this trouble to us? Please go. And Krishna says, no, I have come here to stay here. I'm not going anywhere. But you tell the village people to make up a big scale. And on one side you put me. So they made a big scale. And then the wife of Bodhano, Krishna told her, nobody touches me but you. And you lift me out. And sure enough, she went into the well and picked up Krishna, light as a feather, and put him on the scale. And the army general saying, if she can do that, I can do that. So he tried to pick Krishna. He couldn't lift him. So how is it possible? Then he realized that some mystic powers are here. Then he said, okay, fill the other side of the scale with gold, and once the scale tips, Krishna can stay here and we'll take the gold. So he's doing that. Villagers thinking, where are we going to go? And then Bodhano's wife saying, Krishna, now what? Krishna whispers in the ear and says, see that little nose ring you have? Take it off. It's made of gold. Put it on the scale. And she took out the nose ring and put on the scale, and boom, Krishna shot up and the scale went down. Just by a tiny little, maybe 5 grams of gold. And the general was thinking, oh, what to do? If I go to my king with this much gold, surely he's going to kill me. And then he realized that there's something mystic going on here. Then he fell down and said, Krishna, please protect my honor. You are the all supreme personality. Then Krishna says, listen, I came here by my own free will. I want to stay here. But you go back to Dwarka and go in this particular spot and dig there. You'll find a deity of Krishna there. And install that deity in Dwarka and let the king be happy, and I will be happy here, because I am now so much sold out to these villages who are worshipping me. And Bodhano's love for me. So, of course, the general goes back, and here, Bodhano's wife is lamenting and crying at the loss of her husband, and Krishna says in her ear, why are you crying? He's already with me. He has perfected his life. Now, very shortly, you'll also join your husband where I am. And then, of course, soon enough, she died, and she went back to the spiritual world with Bodhano. And today, that temple is there in Gujarat, a place called Dakor, or sometimes they call it Ranchorji. And the name Ranchor is because he ran away from Dwarka to, it's called Duncanpur at that time, that village called Duncanpur, but now it's called Dakor. Anyway, so that deity is there, still there, very magnificent, beautiful deity of Krishna is worshipped there. And in Dwarka also, there is Dwarkadish, is the other deity who is manifested. So these deities, they have very transcendental relationship with his devotees. As Prabhupada mentions here, they are Nityasiddhas, Nityabharas. So these Nityasiddhas, they seem very ordinary, But their devotion is so strong that Krishna reciprocates and has these transcendental pastimes with them. So even today, if you go to that place in Dakor, you will see a beautiful deity of Ranchorji there, where he is worshipped very nicely. And it's said that if you go to all the four dhams, Badri in the north, Rameshwar in the south, Dwarka in the west, and Puri in the east, and after finishing these four pilgrimage places, if you don't come to Ranchorji, then your pilgrimage is not complete. So people do also today, in traditionally, they do that. And many people on the Purnima, or wherever they are, they would walk every full moon to Dakor. There's thousands of people there who are following the same tradition and worshipping. So quickly, time is running out. So quick one story. This is something like about 50 years back. This true story. There was a professor in a university in Baroda. And he is also a very devout devotee of Ranchorji. So every full moon, he would go to Dakor and take darshan of Ranchorji. Of course, he's not walking. He's going by train. Because now facilities things have changed. Modernization is there. So every full moon, he would go to Dakor for taking darshan of Ranchorji. So this one time, there was examinations coming up of the university students. So the dean, the professor, the dean of the university told this professor that, I know you have a tradition of going to Dakor every Purnima, but this Purnima, I'm afraid I will not sanction your leave because the exams are coming up for these young students and you have to do justice to your profession and you're employed. Now, this professor is such a devout devotee of Ranchorji. He's in dilemma. He's an honest person. So, on one hand, he has his obligations to be fulfilled. On the other hand, he has his devotion to the Lord. So, he's saying, what shall I do? Then finally, he says, look, if I get fired, I get fired. It's just a job. But my Lord is worth more than my job. So, I don't care for my job. My Lord and Master is what I want. So he goes to Dakor to take darshan. And after he has taken darshan and everything, he comes back. And then when he comes back, the professor, the dean of the university, thanked the professor very much. I'm very, very thankful to you that you did not go this time to Dakor for your regular darshan. I'm very honored that you respected my words and you had, honored your profession and the integrity of your students, that they were more important to you. And the professor thing, I was not here. But guess what? Ranchorji, he took the form of the professor and took his place here. So that his dignity is not questioned, or his honesty is not questioned. So Krishna can do many wonderful things for his devotees if you have full faith and connection with him. Not that you see the deity as a form, but you see deity as the Lord himself. He's not a form, he's the Lord himself. So sometimes we say, when we come in the temple room and look at Gokulananda and look at his beautiful form as a figurative speaking, and we get happy that, yes, Gokulananda is looking very beautiful. But we do not connect with him. So if you connect with Gokulananda, then one of these days, Gokulananda is going to speak to you and have a wonderful conversation with you, and your life will become fully perfect and complete. So on that meditational thought, I will stop here. Thank you very much. If anybody has any comments, any questions... Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thanks so much for the class. I had two questions. The first question is when Prabhupada was mentioning about Nitya Siddhas and Nitya Badhas. So just as a form of clarification, something I was always wondering about is, are the Nitya Siddhas aware of their position, or if they're still bound by the laws of material nature, they have also kind of like forgotten as they practice. So what's the situation with that?
Well, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, the Nitya Siddhas, although they are acting in an ordinary platform in the material world, they are still his devotees birth after birth. And they never forget Krishna at any stage. Now, we all have an understanding of our own Nitya Siddha, Srila Prabhupada, that even in his childhood, when his nurse would take the children around his house to the nursery, on the way to the nursery, there is the Govindji temple where they would stop over. And all the children would be playing in the courtyard, but Prabhupada would go to the altar and completely absorb himself in the beautiful Govindji's form there. And he would meditate on Govindji as a child. Now, generally in children, even now, you know, we see that many parents, they come here with their children, and they are standing here with, you know, praying and offering their respect to Gokulananda, but children are like, you know, and they say, hey, say Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna. But they are not absorbed in Lord. They don't even know that they have come here to see the Supreme Lord. But the parents know, out of some understanding of culture, that they come to the temple to pay respects to the Gokulananda Lordship and the children. So Prabhupada was focused. So he doesn't forget Krishna. Because similarly, all the Nitya Siddhas, they don't forget Krishna at all. In their heart, they're fully absorbed in Krishna. But Nitya Bhadas, they forget everything. They even forget themselves. Never mind, forget Krishna. So, it's very simple. These Nitya Siddhas who are in this material world, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, that they are here simply to spread the glories of the Lord. That is their only business. So they may act ordinary in different ways, but at the heart, they want to always spread the glories of the Lord. And therefore, you find all these great devotees who are so focused in Krishna. And they are our role models to teach us that how we can become from Nitya Bhadas to Nitya Siddhas.
Thank you, Maharaj. There's one last question I was asking as well. Is you spoke on how our misfortune is that, you know, we're still identifying with the body. You know, even with Krishna residing in our heart, we're still identifying with the body. And, you know, we're also informed that, you know, there's a need to take care of the body as well simultaneously and to work out a circumstance where our devotional life is, our body is able to help us, you know, work in our devotional life. So is it that we should be at a position, or is the perfected stage a position that it doesn't really matter what circumstance our body is in, that we're just fully absorbed in connecting with the Lord? Or is that compromise still there for devotees who are advanced in their Krishna consciousness?
No. This is basically simply that when you are awakened to spirituality and you come to make that inquiry, Athato Brahma Jignasa, inquire into the Supreme and understand the Supreme. And of course, when you come to Krishna consciousness, you follow the process of bhakti and you are training yourself to be free from entanglement, and as this Prabhupada says, that this process of bhakti is the process of cleansing the heart of all the dirt accumulated for many lifetimes. So as you become free from this dirt, then you become more and more clearer in your vision. And no matter what kind of bodily state you are in, you're focused in your service. And when you're focused in the service, then bodily aches and pains doesn't matter. I'll give you one example of one wonderful devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Jayananda Prabhu. You know, when Prabhupada introduced the first Rath Yatra in San Francisco, way back in 1969, and he was completely mesmerized by this Lord Jagannath's transcendental form and the Rath Yatra. And he took it upon him that he will be completely a Jagannath man. And of course, he was doing all the Rath Yatras, and wherever the Rath Yatra is, he's right there in the front. Later on, unfortunately, he had kind of blood cancer and he was suffering. But still, he was so focused in his bodily aches and pains. He was fixing the Rath car, decorating the Rath car, preparing for Rath Yatras, completely focused. He did not consider his disposition of his bodily condition. He was just thinking, I am going to serve Jagannath. That's it. And he was so focused. And therefore, even Prabhupada said that when he left his body, Prabhupada said, he's gone back to Godhead and to honor him as a great devotee of Jagannath. I would say maybe he's also one of those Nitya Siddhas that when he was remembering Jagannath, he just wanted to serve Lord Jagannath, come what may, even in his disease condition of that disposition of bodily aches and pains, was fixed. And therefore Prabhupada said that every Rath Yatra we should put his photo on the Rath to show appreciation. And not only appreciation to Jayananda Prabhu, but to learn from him how we can dedicate our lives in whatever situation we are in to serve Krishna. That is the important part. And once you focus on Krishna, then your bodily aches and pains will go. It will not have any impact on you. But if you keep meditating, oh, I'm body, then your pains will increase more and more and you'll just be bewildered by the pains of the body. But we see great saintly persons, even like, say, Srila Prabhupada, in his last days of his final pastimes, his body was so weak, practically his skin hugging his bones. And the doctor said anybody in this condition would be screaming with pain. And we have to sedate those persons. Because, you know, doctors, they see these kind of cases in hospitals. And they sedate these kind of patients because they cannot handle the pain. And Prabhupada very peacefully lying there saying, Kirtan. And he's listening to Kirtan. Another time he would say, bring the dictaphone. And he would say, okay, read the sloka. And he would translate very, very, very sublime, very peaceful. And not a flinch of pain in his body. But physically we can see, wow, this is a condition which is going to be a very, very painful situation. But Prabhupada was not concerned because Prabhupada is not the body. So you and I, we can also transcend to that platform if we rise from this bodily platform. But if we are caught up on this bodily platform, then obviously you're going to suffer the aches and pains of the body. Okay. All right, so we'll stop here. Okay, one more last question.
Thank you for your class, Maharaj. In the purport, it says that the Nitya Bada is always conditioned even before the creation. I don't understand, even before the creation.
You see, the creation, as we know it now, we think that it began from somewhere. But in the Bhagavatam, it is very nicely explained that Lord Vishnu, who is lying on the causal ocean, and every in-breath, all the universes go into his body. And then his out-breath, all the universes come out. And when all the universes come out, and every universe, according to the size of the universe, there is an expansion of Vishnu, and on the lotus, there's a Brahma. And in our case, it's a four-headed Brahma. Then that Brahma, he begins to create. Now, he's not creating something from zero. He's just putting things together. So all the living souls, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, you know, in that section, is describing that all the living entities also merge into that universal dissolution. And when they come out, they again are given body. So they are always conditioned. But Krishna is very kind and compassionate, as Krishna says, that millennium after millennium I come. For what purpose? Dharma samsthapana, to establish religious principles so that through these religious principles I free the Nitya Bharas and take them back to Godhead. So it is not that it says in the purport that they are, even before creation they are conditioned, because this creation, there's other creation, there are many creations, and the living entity is just going through the cycle and cycle. At some stage, through that potency of jignasha, means inquiring potency, that is only available in the human form of life, when you inquire, why? What is the purpose? Then the Paramatma in the heart says, okay, come, go here. Read this scripture. Take shelter of this person. Hear from him. Worship me. Then you become spiritually enlightened. And then you are on your way to becoming from Nitya Bada to Nitya Siddha. So option is there. Krishna is not that you will condemn eternally and they'll be, you know, just fully conditioned all the time. He comes, as Prabhupada explains, to fish out all the living entities who are ready to go back home. And those who don't want to go back to God, he says, play ball. That's your stage. Do what you like. And good or bad, you get a slap and you get a tap on the back, and well done. Another time, whack up your backside, you know. Karma, good or bad, you enjoy, suffer. Okay? All right, thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sakshi Gopal ki jai. Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai. Srisi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Srisi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. Srisi Gonitai ki jai. Jai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.